Episode 154 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded October 19th, 2017. F all this. Alright guys, so for the past couple weeks we've had this theme where it was fall sitcoms and then it was fall superhero, and so I really tried to make this one like fall dramas or fall CW shows or... Yep.
And I argued that Mr. Robot is on a CW show, and yeah. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is in no way a drama. No.
Yeah, so it wasn't meshing, but then it was... Less is like F all this. That works.
I'm tired, y'all. It's a pun.
But we don't hate everything we watch this week, right?
No, we don't.
Actually.
And in fact, we're talking about Mr. Robot returning for season 3, Dynasty, and Riverdale over on CW that just came back for, well, one came back for its second season, the other first. And Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is on, like, what?
Season three.
Season three.
Wow. It's amazing. I mean, only because it's winning awards. It's like the Dennis Miller thing where HBO had canceled it, and then Dennis Miller's show won a bunch of awards, and then miraculously it was back.
Yeah. Wait, does that mean Rachel Bloom's going to wind up doing
conservative? I fear that in 10 or 15 years we're...
I doubt that she's going to become conservative.
And shitty oil commercials?
No, I think instead she'll probably be doing, like, a Dr. Phil-style show about how to be sane in relationships.
Oh, my God, I can see that. Oh, I can totally see that.
A little turn heel thing.
Yeah. It's still going to be called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
All right, guys. We are the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
I'm Les.
And yeah, like I said, we are covering some CW shows. We're going to hit Mr. Robot as well. But before we get into all of that, you guys can help us support us. If you want to go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, write a review. We appreciate that. Helps us out. We'll even read your review here on the show.
Whatever you write. Whatever you write.
Patreon.com/TVDudes is another way you guys can help us. We'll discuss kind of whatever on there as a little bonus for you guys.
Bonus podcast every week.
Yeah.
What's that URL again, Grant?
It's Patreon.com/TV Dudes.
You can go there. You can give us money.
Yeah.
$1 an episode. That's like $4 a month. It's cheaper than getting a whole bunch of pumpkin spice lattes.
It's cheaper than your CBS All Access.
It's cheaper than your CBS All Access. And there are less Klingons. Not no Klingons, because we do have a Star Trek pod.
We're a little clingy.
Yeah.
No one would call us a full Klingon.
No.
All right. that was a terrible joke. I'm sorry.
I'm just glad you didn't say Vulcans.
I don't know the difference. Permanent Record.
Permanent Record.
That is our podcast network. We are proud to be a part of this network, and it is an all-TV network, I think.
Yes.
For the most part, it's a TV network of podcasts.
Except for Kyle's ill-advised cooking show, which is really weird over just podcasts.
It was a weird call, Kyle.
Yeah.
But we're still rooting for you.
And it's all toast.
I mean, that is very on trend.
Yeah.
We want to pimp this month Mr. Robot O. That's Mr. Robot, OH! Exclamation point. And that is a podcast that our buddy Mike does with Melissa and Ghost.
One knows Ghost's real name.
Yes. But he's a direwolf, right?
I think he's a direwolf.
Yeah. That's the only ghost I know.
he speaks in... Although, I think...
He knows a lot about computers, though, so don't just write him off.
No.
Ghost will hack your shit.
Yeah. I'm afraid to make that joke. Yeah. It was all done in fun, Ghost.
Yeah.
Don't ruin my life.
He has albinism, too, I believe. anyway, Mr. Robot. Oh, they talk about Mr. Robot, and they go much more in-depth than we do here. So if you guys need your fix, because Elliot, he's gone bonkers, guys, and shit's going haywire in that world much more than our own real world.
Uh-huh. But only by a little.
Yeah, just a little bit. Go to permanentrecord.com/podcasts/Mr. Robot O, or just type in Mr. Robot O. Subscribe.
I want you to appreciate that I didn't do that entire URL you just did in the Permanent Record voice.
Oh, God. I thought I said it fast enough that you wouldn't even be able to follow.
I considered it.
All right. Let's do some listener questions, guys.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you go to facebook.com/TV Dudes, you guys can... like our page and stay tuned, because once a week Randy puts up a little post and you guys can ask us or comment on whatever you want. And if we're in the mood, we will read your entire thing.
Yeah. And if we're not, we'll make something else up.
Yeah. We'll just abbreviate.
You guys all thought Jonathan Huffnagel was real. He's not. We made all those up.
What a weird thing for us to make up. Jonathan Huff and stuff.
I don't know what I'm saying.
I'm really tired, guys. This is going to be a long episode. Jonathan Haftemichael, a.k.a.
Okay, so every time I see his name, I want to sing the song Jonathan Haftemichael, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. It's, I hear it go through my head every time I see it. So it's Jonathan Haftemichael Schmidt. His name is my name, too.
He says, hi, dudes. While the Marvel Netflix universe has better shows...
Disagree.
It seems very weak in its interconnections compared to the CW DC universe. Legends and Flash can mess up the space-time continuum, and Arrow faces those consequences. Invasion had more highlights than the Defenders, which was everyone beating up Danny Rand. And despite my reasons, what do you guys think is the better TV universe?
Now, in fairness, the other half of Defenders was also complaining about being in Defenders. It wasn't just about beating up on Danny.
Right. It was also about whining about having to be
also
there.
Also about whining about being there.
Yeah. And don't forget Stick, like trying to murder people.
Oh, yeah. That's right, Stick.
Yeah, we forgot that part.
What a miserable show.
And wasting Sigourney Weaver. That's a key component.
I would say there are arguments to be made that the Netflix Marvel shows are classier television at moments than anything the CW is doing, just
sure.
on what they're aiming for. I would say that the CW shows are better shows total. They seem to know more what they're doing. They get lost mid-season just as often as the Netflix shows.
Sure.
But I don't feel like they're aiming for some kind of grim weirdness. The Netflix shows don't swing for the interconnectedness, and I don't understand why. It's like they do a couple of things that I kind of wish the CW shows would do at times, mm-hmm. like get a little more serious with their stuff or have a little more money to play with. But then they don't do all the other stuff that would make them more comic booky and fun. And like, yeah, for a team-up show, Defenders was weak. I can't believe I'm looking forward to the All Weddings week.
And the CW universe, it aims for Bronze Age 80s classic superheroes. And the Netflix universe seems to be aiming for sort of this grim and gritty 90s, 2000s, which my love lies more with the 80s Bronze Age. So even though they're not doing it that well, what they're aiming for, they're hitting. Whereas Netflix is aiming for something that even if they hit it well, it's not what I want.
I'll just suggest a third category here,
yeah.
And that is the X-Men universe that's been established with Legion and Gifted. The Gifted.
Yeah.
Those strong, are much better.
That is strong contenders. A strong start.
Yeah,
yes.
Strong contenders.
The world that Legion made is amazing. I'm not sure if it's necessarily connected to the other world, although, you know, they have said, you know, Professor X is his dad kind of thing.
Yeah.
But Gifted is pretty solid as well. I'm impressed with both of those.
Yeah, I'm enjoying Gifted so far.
Yeah, Gifted is in that same – Gifted is that mid-space. It takes itself more seriously than CW, but not as seriously as the Netflix shows. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's sort of maybe the one to watch.
It's at least – I don't hate it.
Yeah.
And I hate the other ones.
I think my disappointment with the Netflix shows is that I thought they were making 70s – comic shows. And
yeah.
It turns out they're making Feel the Blood 90s.
Yeah.
They made 70s kind of pulpy
and
superhero ones. That'd be fun.
With where Daredevil was starting out from and with Jessica Jones on the slide, I really thought we were going to get this 70s pulp, but you're right. It's kind of trashy 90s.
Man, that's exactly right. You're exactly right. It's. I thought they were making 70s comics and they're making 90s comics. That is the disconnect.
Alec Miracle asks, dudes. Okay, first off, he has a little aside here. He says, first of all, whatever host said that Lost fans are the worst a couple weeks ago is evil, and I wish they get gobbled up by the smoke monster. It was probably Randy.
It was probably Grant. Grant hates Lost fans. He hates them.
I do.
Anyone who likes the show Lost, can't stand them.
It comes from a place of self-loathing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My question is, what is a movie franchise or series that would work better as a TV series? What do you guys think? Like, he talks about... for example, Saw. What if you took the horror franchise Saw and turned that into an HBO TV series, which I think is kind of...
That would probably work better.
I'd watch that. You know what? But what it puts me in mind of is a movie series I've actually kind of found myself liking is The Purge. I think a Purge series that sort of does the continuing stuff. I think that'd make a really good TV show. You're right. That's happening.
I don't know.
I mean, we've seen a couple in the last few years that really surprised me. I mean, who would have thought Fargo would make a good TV show?
Right.
Who would have thought The Exorcist would have turned into a good TV show?
Right.
Fargo didn't have a – wasn't a franchise though, right? But Exorcist –
no, but it was a movie.
But The Exorcist is dovetailing into – or like it actually did a – that show's much better than it should have been. Similarly, Hannibal.
Oh, yeah.
Exceptional television version of a movie franchise. Then we have the opposite happen, and the one that I would put up here – The Dark Tower.
Yeah.
When that was originally pitched, there were rumors for years that that was going to be this interwoven three-movie thing where they were going to do a trilogy of movies, which is standard. Everything gets a trilogy. And then they were going to interweave a television show through it because it's like 8.5 books.
Yeah.
And so there's so much interconnected stuff. There's so much backstory, and you don't want to lose any of it. But if you try to put it all into one movie, you get the 90-minute mess.
Yeah.
That made it to screens earlier this year. The longest book series that I've read across my life since I was 10 was the shortest runtime I saw in theaters
now,
all year.
My understanding was that wasn't the book, though. It was like some prequel kind of thing?
The way the book series ends, it reboots. Like, there's a loop to it.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, the books have been out for my entire life. Spoilers. and so this movie was going to be that next loop. But the problem is it seems like they tried to run start to finish in this movie. It's Easter eggs throughout. I mean, like, if you've read the books, I sat there and just, like, holy crap, it's that, it's that, it's that. No one else in that fucking theater knew any of that stuff. None of it was explained.
Yeah.
It was just Easter eggs for any fans.
Yeah, the overwhelming feeling through the whole movie was, well, there goes me getting Dark Tower stuff. Like, this is going to be – this is the – anybody who really loved Golden Compass, this is that moment of, like, polar bear fight, only
example.
One I'm ever going to fucking see.
You know, one last thing, Harry Potter.
That's the one I always say, too.
Yeah, Harry Potter would make a great TV show.
Harry Potter would be perfect. And Harry Potter was another one where I watched the first couple movies by Christopher Columbus, mm-hmm. and I was like, you're cramming in a bunch of stuff from the books, but you're not explaining anything. And anyone who didn't read the books, this is just a weird translation of everything.
Yeah.
Maybe a weird split hair, but since Harry Potter were movies, and I know they're never going to do this because Harry Potter exists, but... Books of Magic by Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
Tim Hunter. There was a running series in DC.
Gaiman's a new hotness.
Yep.
They might.
The only reason is because the kid is literally like British magician,
Harry Potter kid
with glasses. Which, like,
came out before Harry Potter, by the way.
Different story. It's just
different
Tim's
story.
Real similar.
But he is a real Harry Potter type, yeah.
Justin Zarian asks, what's your opinion on Amazon canceling some of the TV shows being developed by the Weinstein Company? Obviously, no one will cry for Harvey Weinstein because screw him. But it's a shame to see people involved in that David O. Russell show in particular suffer as victims of his actions. Can we truly separate art from artist/producer?
Okay, bad example because David O. Russell is a fuckface asshole.
I mean, he's like a genuine asshole.
And did the head of Amazon Studios not just have some...
Yeah, they dropped a David O. Russell show. I mean, of course they did because David O. Russell, they're probably like, well... we have an abuser funding an abuser. We should probably not do that show anymore.
Yeah, well, it's just toxic all around.
Well,
right?
I mean, Weinstein's a producer. I mean, is he creatively making any of these shows?
No,
I mean, they're just
going
to find a different money backer, right? Like, you found out your banker's scum, you find a new banker.
I mean, generally, that would be the thing. And if Amazon had the option, I mean, Amazon probably just wanted to wash their hands of it.
Here's the other deal. The Romanoffs by Matthew Weiner is moving forward without the Weinstein Company's involvement. So it sounds more like they wanted to cut David O. Russell loose, and this was a good excuse. And what's David O. Russell going to do? He can't push back and say, hey, I wasn't involved with any of that stuff. I'm not an abuser. Oh, right, shit. No, fuck David O. Russell. Fuck that show.
If that guy wants, he can find other financiers.
Yeah, maybe not for long.
Maybe. Hopefully I don't know. Nick Thigh says, hey dudes, I watched the second ep of Supergirl and there's a surprising amount of angst for the loss of Mon-El, who is a character so bland I literally cannot remember what he looks like.
He looks like that. If you open any J. Crew catalog, he's the third guy.
In fact, he says, I keep picturing Jai Courtney or some other generic white guy.
Yes.
What TV actor do you think would have been a better fit for Mon-El?
Okay, before we answer that question, I have a question of my own related.
Okay.
What does Mon-El look like? We know that he looks like the guy in the J. Crew catalog. We know he looks like Jai White or Jai Courtney or one of those guys.
Who's Mon-El?
What does Mon-El look like?
He's a sack of flour with 5 o'clock shadow.
That's all I wanted. I want a few of those.
I don't know what you guys are doing.
He's the love interest for Supergirl, and he was the blandest white guy you could ever come up with.
Yeah. Oh. He looked like he looked like the white dude from Timeless. He looked like Sam Worthington. Yeah. He looked like Jake Courtney.
I've never heard that.
He looked like Gerard Jason Barr.
He looked like if you tried to sculpt someone out of mayonnaise. and then form him up with white bread. That's what Mon-El looked like.
So who would you cast?
Yeah.
Who's Mon-El, by the way? I'm Mon-El, guessing he's a Krypton.
Mon-El is tied into the Legion of Super. He's a Daxamite. And he's tied into the Legion of Super. The problem with Mon-El is he's a boring-ass character in the comics, too.
Yeah, and he's kind of a douche. And so in the show, it was about Supergirl teaching him to be like a human that cares about humans. And yeah, he's just a very bland D-bag.
Cast DJ Qualls.
Yeah.
That's one of the most like notable faces.
Yeah, DJ Qualls.
You know what? That would be great. Give him all the same powers. Just have him show up, look like DJ Qualls, but the yellow sun makes him a badass.
I'd watch that.
But he's an awkward, gangly, nerdy.
And it would make sense because Mon-El's parents are royalty.
Yeah.
DJ Qualls totally looks like he should be like super strong, rich, royalty kid.
Yeah.
He still looks skinny.
You're saying DJ Qualls looks like he came from a bloodline that's been a little too mixed over the years?
A little bit. A little bit. I love you, DJ Qualls.
We love you, but you look a little weird, dude.
That's funny. Dennis McElwain says, "Hey, dudes, I am back asking questions and generally making a pest of myself. Welcome back, Dennis. We missed you. Thinking back on it, Ted Danson was in quality wilderness between Cheers and his HBO work. Can you think of any other actors, actresses that were in quality wilderness after a strong start?"
Actually, I heard his Mean Doctor show was good. Whatever show that was.
Oh, Becker.
Becker. Wasn't that good? No? Okay.
Yeah, he was gone for a while before Becker, too, though.
Right, yeah, there was a period there where he was doing the Macaulay Culkin movie, and
it was just like him and Whoopi were just hiding out.
I keep waiting for Matthew Perry to find another project where he's good, because he keeps doing these ones like Mr. Sunshine.
No, he's in something new now. He's
in The Odd Couple. But like Matthew Perry's not a terrible guy. He's actually can be very funny, but he's been in these really bad shows.
But he likes money.
I understand.
Because he has substance abuse.
Yes, well.
He was just on The Good Fight.
Yeah, okay.
The other CBS All Access show. And his character is like, the show doesn't have like a big bad villain, but
there's no Klingons in The Good Fight.
No, but he's the foil for the characters that you like. And very rarely have I seen Matthew Perry play an absolute scumbag.
Yeah.
And he's a scum, like lying, cheating, fuck you scumbag in Good Fight for like four episodes. And I was sitting there going, oh, wow. Like, I don't think I've ever viscerally like wanted to punch Matthew Perry in the not chin. Like,
the not chin.
Well, also, you guys know I have some opinions on Kat Dennings' work between her strong start and what she's been doing since. So kind of hoping she'll come out of that valley.
What was her strong start? Where did she come from?
She was in...
I mean, I know she was in Thor.
40-year-old virgin. She was the daughter in 40-Year-Old Virgin. She was great in that.
Yeah.
And and then she did Two Broke Girls for, I think, 100 years.
Yeah.
Richard Schiff. Richard Schiff is always good in everything he's in, but that guy's a working actor who will sign on for literally anything.
Yep. He's on Good Doctor now.
Yeah. Oh, is that where he's at now?
Because
he was
Freddie Highmore.
He's also in Ballers, and he's great in Ballers. But
that's right.
But that's...
Not so much a TV guy, but I was watching the new live-action Beauty and the Beast, and Kevin Kline popped up in that, and I was like, where'd Kevin Kline go?
Yeah, Kevin Kline, do you remember, we all loved him coming out of Fish Called Wanda, and his next project was like the January Man, where he plays like a firefighter, and it was the weirdest, and he could never seem to get another role that was so good.
He was in Dave, and Dave was awesome.
Dave is amazing.
And he was in In-N-Out, which
In-N-Out
probably does not age well, but was really funny at the time.
In-N-Out, but yeah, he was out for a while.
Yeah, but he was out for a while.
He popped back in for In-N-Out.
Yeah. No, Kevin Kline is a guy I would like to see, because, man, Fish Called Wanda, he was so great in that.
Yeah. All right. Jonathan Huffnagel.
Our favorite evil twin.
Our fictional dude. Oh, he's back, and it looks like he wrote some some haikus for us.
Haikus, I like it.
Bad robots are fun. Mr. Robot is good too. Evil is better. Make a haiku. Oh, jeez, you're going to put us on the spot to
There's
make a haiku?
There's no fucking way I'm making a haiku.
He says, make a haiku about your favorite evil robots in television. And then he says, sits in the corner, thinks about what you have done. Think about what you have done. Skynet is coming.
I am not coming up with... There are a lot I will do for you people. I am not coming up with live haikus.
Les is currently like actively working on it. I'll just vamp.
Yes. Yeah, we'll vamp on... What evil robots are there? There's the Terminator.
There's, wait. I can do this.
Are there any evil robots in Lost?
Stuck on an island. The smoke monster is coming. Produced by Bad Robot. Ah, so close.
Is that 575?
It's produced by Bad Robot.
It's 575. That's what we're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
Unless you got yours?
No, I don't.
I did 576.
All right. Let's see. Here we go. Hank and Britt in... Shit, never mind.
The only one that keeps popping to mind is an old one I know. The Arkansas Star Wars. Luke, I am your father, but also your uncle.
More Ben Rubin says, hello, dudes. This is more of a command than a question.
A command?
Go watch Comrade Detective on Amazon. I'll have discussion questions after you watch it. All right. So we need to add that to the docket.
I think you need to read the P.S.
Oh, P.S. I've been pronouncing her name right. So
congratulations. Awesome.
Yeah, thanks. You need to add that to our docket, Randy.
Have you all not watched Comrade Detective?
No. All right.
Okay, I have not brought up Comrade Detective. I've been really wondering if anybody else watched that fucking
show. Oh, do you?
It's so great.
Oh, okay.
All right.
It's super... I almost say it's great. It's so weird.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Comrade Detective is going on the list.
Kyle Volte says, last question here, by the way. Hey, dudes of the TV, any thoughts on the Netflix series Mindhunters? Yes, we have thoughts, and we will be back next week to talk about them.
Yes.
Although, have you seen it yet, Les?
Only the first.
Okay.
I've not binged that yet.
Yeah. Well, what's your initial impression here?
I'm liking it. Somebody called it the slowest version of Zodiac possible. And that so far sums it up.
I mean, Fincher's really good about like setting like a slow, eerie tone.
Yeah.
With his work.
Well, so. Fincher directed Zodiac, right?
Yeah. So it's very fitting.
So it is very fitting. Yeah. No, he sets that brooding creep tone really well.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be back next week to talk about that, but we'll also be back in a few minutes to talk about the news.
Guys, so we got a little bit of news. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch this. Steven Soderbergh has a new Netflix Western series called Godless.
You had me there.
And there's a trailer. And it's just a little one-minute trailer. Doesn't really tell us much what it's about. It's got a little line about loving people who are touched by death. It is a gun-toting outlaw looking on the hunt for his former partner. It's written by Logan and Minority Report screenwriter Scott Frank, who wrote and directed the entire series. Soderbergh produced.
I mean, this and it's got Jeff Daniels.
This is awesome.
No, the setup of it, though, Jeff Daniels rides into a town entirely of women.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's.
I mean, we've all been there and had that.
Did
dream.
Not expect that paragraph of synopsis to end there.
Yeah.
But yeah, something called Godless by Soderbergh with Jeff Daniels riding around the West shooting guns. I'm good.
And they ask in the Screen Rant piece, which you know I love the Screen Rant. They ask about the question, which is it going to be more like Deadwood or more like Hell on Wheels? The trailer makes it look much more Deadwood like.
Woohoo!
Yeah. I'm excited.
Soderbergh likes language.
Yeah,
and he can have some great dialogue in
there.
So I'm looking forward to it.
NBC is developing a Nancy Drew TV series with an all-new angle. Now, this is interesting because it was originally developed by CBS, and it was basically just like a reboot, and then it didn't go forward. So now they're doing one, and the pitch is that basically it's a like middle-aged Nancy Drew who was basically the author of the Nancy Drew series somehow. And now she's thrust into a real-life murder mystery, turns to her childhood best friends and the inspiration for her novels, who still carry a grudge about the way she portrayed them all those years ago.
Is it murder she wrote?
I was just thinking, like, so she's a mystery writer that gets embroiled in real-life.
So basically, she wrote all these stories, and she took credit for all the good stuff, and her friends were the ones who did all the work.
I mean, to be
and
fair,
now she's going out to them.
Isn't Castle basically murder she wrote, too?
Yes, basically,
Castle's,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but...
Well, and this at least sounds like it's got the twist of her having not been the actual mystery-solving genius. Like, her friends that she took credit from.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of that comic book Unwritten.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Where the kid who was like...
He's like the Harry Potter
story was
the
written about
him.
Yeah.
But it's like, is what's real and everything starts blending?
Well, the description from one of the producers says that the women's age, middle-aged women, is a superpower because no one notices them.
Aww.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's not
damn.
Cool.
I mean...
It's CBS. I don't have a lot of faith in this.
It's NBC now,
but I don't know, man. I'm curious, but I can't imagine this being anything but a train wreck.
So I think the original angle at CBS for this show was going to be bland procedural.
Yeah.
And I think when they sold it to NBC, NBC went, it could be edgy and mildly offensive.
Yeah. So the next one is the Radcliffe one,
yes,
right?
Yeah. So Steve Buscemi has joined Daniel Radcliffe's new TV show called Miracle Workers, which is based on Lorne Michaels as a producer.
Mm-hmm.
And Man-Seeking Woman creator Simon Rich penned a book called One in God's Name, which is what it's based on. And basically it's about a low-level angel who must work a miracle in order to save humanity from destruction while God is off ignoring his responsibilities to focus on his hobbies.
You know, there's a lot of God ignoring his responsibilities.
There is that, Grant.
So is this the natural progression after dystopia, after like 2 year, 3 years of dystopia movies? We just move into like, there is no God. No, there is a God. He's a dick. He wandered off.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the whole premise of Preacher.
Yeah, but that's
even
true.
If the show won't get around to it.
So Buscemi is playing God.
Okay, better than that, Buscemi took over this role from Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what an improvement that is.
And a very different take.
What casting conversation flowed smoothly with a segue between discussing Owen Wilson for a role and then like, oh wait, we can't have Owen? Steve.
Yeah. Like, you know, Owen has a brother.
like a lot of brothers.
Did that never come up?
No. He's got an even more boring brother, though. Somehow Luke Wilson is like the Liam Hemsworth of brothers.
Honestly, Wilson Phillips is closer than Steve Buscemi.
Though I got to say, I'm now super excited about this.
Yeah, me too. Sounds
both
good.
Because Daniel Radcliffe has shown himself to have a lot of fun with his fame and has been good in nearly everything I've seen him in.
Yeah, like, I just saw that one where it was the one where he's a neo-Nazi. He goes undercover as a neo-Nazi. Did you see that?
No.
It was pretty good, pretty intense. I mean, I think back on it, I'm like, yeah, it's small scale. I wouldn't go rewatch it, but.
Yeah, considering, I mean, as a child actor coming off of Harry Potter, he didn't really have to do anything, and I didn't expect anything from him, frankly.
He could have Rupert Grinted it.
Bought an ice cream truck, said, fuck all y'all.
Whatever that guy's up to.
Seriously, he bought an ice cream truck.
Really?
Yeah, no,
and
look,
said,
up,
fuck you
look
all?
Up what Rupert Grint did with his money. It's great.
Is it called Grint Cones?
No, but he is on a... Snatch the Crackle series.
Oh,
now.
That's okay. Right.
But right. Seriously, he bought an ice cream truck. And he just gives away ice.
Actually,
fucking great.
If you just called a show Rupert Grint bought an ice cream truck, I would watch that.
I think
show.
He just gives away ice cream.
Yeah, that's all you need to do. I'd watch that show. Oh, he just drives from town to town giving away ice cream.
And our last one.
Yeah, so this is interesting. Nielsen claims its new rating system can measure Netflix audience. Netflix had no comment. Here's what I think. This sounds like bullshit as Nielsen tries to say relevant.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, of course they're going to say, oh no, you can totally still use us, even though the model we've been using for years has never been that effective and is definitely not effective now at how people actually watch TV. Please keep paying us money.
Like, it seems grossly ineffective.
Yes.
I mean, I know that Nielsen is starting to definitely like look at streaming as a metric and gauge that more and more. And,
right.
And they should have been doing that.
But,
like,
but the whole thing is like, where do they get their numbers? They get their numbers from the weirdest. I was a Nielsen viewer. It's the most back-ass word thing. They send you a paper booklet. You write when you watch things. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I had no idea how bad that system was until I knew somebody got picked.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They had like a mileage log, like a Weight Watchers log for the TV show.
They still haven't upgraded this to digital?
No, there's nothing. They used to have a little device you plugged into your box, their cable box, that would like measure something, but you still also had a little journal that you wrote in like it was Little House on the Prairie. It's a fucked system, and it needs to die and go away. Fuck the Nielsens. Fuck the Emmys. Fuck the Nielsens.
Yeah. I don't know. Not necessarily buying it. I'm sure Netflix is just like, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
I kind of like Netflix's sure you can response.
So we're going to start off with the CW, and we're going to kick things off with My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and then we're going to talk about Riverdale and Dynasty before concluding over on USA with Mr. Robot. But first up, My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is back with Season 3.
And Les and I both have thoughts, but I want to hear what Grant thinks. I'm just kidding. Grant hasn't watched this show.
I don't know.
I think I missed an episode last season. I really had to watch the previously on. I missed a couple of things. I had not seen. I realized I had not actually finished out the last season.
It was a big change.
Yes,
in the finale.
Huge change. Yeah. So this season opens up with game change as far as like character setup.
Josh Chandler is going to become a priest after they were supposed to get married, and he's actually driven her to levels of craziness we have not seen before.
Yes, and I love the folder he has of her past.
But
he runs off to be a priest, and the way the episode opens, it's the first time in a long time on this show that I've just not liked one of the songs.
Yeah,
I just didn't like the opening song. It was repetitive and it wasn't that interesting to me, and it went on and on and on because they used it to explain a huge amount of plot. That said, I did love the way the show opened with immediately not knowing where she's been.
Yeah.
Like, I like that it opens with there are basically side characters like circling around cubicles, all asking the audience questions. Like, they're all asking, like, so how is she feeling after Josh left? Like, they're asking everything you would want to know leading into a premiere of a season.
So it's kind of like You're the Worst.
Yeah.
How that came back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I also – the thing about this, though, is that I really like the supporting cast on this show. So Paula could carry this show.
Yeah. One of the things that surprised me in season one was that there was more going on with the side characters than I had expected on this kind of goofy show. And they've kept that going to the point that now you really – when she comes back, like when Rachel Bloom comes back and announces her insidious plan to destroy Josh you don't even really need it. Like, there's plenty going on.
Yeah. Well, the story of Paula and her ex or her husband who cheated and how that story went, that was really interesting. I love Valencia. I thought was going to be just a foil, but they've turned her into a great character.
Yes, and she gets my favorite throwaway lines.
I also Heather Davis could easily have been just like a one note, you know, Valley Girl type character. She's always the one. She's usually the one who realizes things are crazy long before anyone else.
Yeah.
And I also really like the boss, Daryl Whitefeather. I love that actor, and I love his story. The way they've done with him and White Josh and their gay relationship. They've really that what could have been sort of a joke has played out into one of the nicest relationships on the show.
Yeah, and his coming out and accepting himself is a really oddly sweet thing across all of season two. Is Heather Davis? She's the crazy friend that
she was the grad student. Yeah, with the dyed hair. Yes. Yeah.
No, she I think has my favorite line in the opening episode when she sits down to the secret meetings.
Yeah.
That they've all been called to. They're all just getting anonymous Google Cal invites to a meeting, and nobody knows who's leading the meeting. She shows up and says like, "Oh yeah, I was excited to be here. I've never gotten a Google Cal invite to anything." And then somebody asks, where did you get the clothes? Because she's in like a business suit. And her, without missing a beat, answers, took him off a scarecrow.
I also like
that's just great.
The comedian Esther, who's playing Maya, the girl, the sort of short little girl in the office.
Oh, yes. That's so desperate.
She's so good. And I'm glad they keep giving her more to see. Because I saw her doing stand-up. She was on Last Comic Standing a couple seasons ago, and she was great. And she's been on like At Midnight and that kind of thing, and I think she's great here. But you talk about the opening song, and I agree it was kind of a weak one. But Let's Generalize About Men was a great song.
Yeah, I did not get to finish out the episode.
Oh man, it's so good! It's such an '80s riff,
and I really
liked that, and I thought that was really funny.
Because I love where the show plot's going, but this was at least that first song. This is the weakest the music has been for me.
Yeah. But I thought they did some fun stuff. I liked giving Josh a chance to play his British counterpart.
Yes.
That was fun. I think the show is really fun, and I thought they did a good job of bringing it back and continuing to escalate these sort of antics and the music. And yeah, I was very happy with the return.
As much as I loved season one and enjoyed season two, I'm still in the same position that I'm always in on this show. I'm glad it's back, and I still don't know how long it can run.
Yeah.
I really am amazed it's back, and I'm happy it's here, and I'm interested to see what they do with season three, and I'll be right there again at the end of this season going,
yeah,
I'd love a season four. I don't know how y'all do it.
Yeah.
Do you think it's one of those where because you don't know if it's going to keep going, you don't know how much you want to commit to it?
There's a little bit of that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to have my heart broken if I can't go all in.
Yeah, like
I think like Grant is making meta commentary about a show he's never even seen.
What?
Heartbroken, not with commitment issues, heartbroken. Fully, that's all Crazy Ex-Girlfriend material, right? I mean, I'm not crazy. That's he accidentally hit a bunch of meta jokes there.
That's true.
I know what I'm doing. All right, well, let's move on to Riverdale because this is back for a second season, and I never watched the first one
at all.
I watched the first episode, and my understanding is that it's bug nuts crazy.
I love the shit out of Riverdale.
Oh, man. It went so much more bonkers as it went along.
Oh, man. And season two is off the rails now.
Yeah.
It's like a murder of fucking episode.
The Black Hood. That is from Archie's superhero line. He's like a murderous vigilante Punisher type. And they brought it into Riverdale in a way that makes sense.
It's amazing. Like, They closed last season. I'm sorry, Grant. Spoiler. They closed last season with Luke Perry getting shot.
Yeah.
Is he dead?
No.
No.
Okay, good, because that's Luke Perry.
But he spends most of this episode in dream flashbacks about going into the light.
Yeah.
Oh. Sure, Luke Perry has a big
chubby for that.
Oh, that's
right. I've seen one more than Randy has seen.
Yeah.
Because episode two is out now.
That was super crass. Sorry.
So Riverdale closed out last season just friggin' crazy and opened up this season even crazier so mm-hmm. that now I think Cheryl Blossom's my favorite character on the show. She's full on nuts.
Oh, insane.
She has burnt her house down with her mom inside it. I think she forced her mom back in the house, if I remember right.
Yeah.
She fully orchestrated this. Her dad has committed suicide by this point.
She was the redhead twin,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Her dad killed her brother. Her dad committed suicide over it. Their entire maple smuggling business is a front for heroin. She burns her mom and then pats her mom in the burn unit on the head and says, oh, it's all different now. I'm in charge. Bug shit creepy.
Yeah.
But she got away with this?
She gets away with all of it. It's amazing so far.
Also, Veronica's dad is back.
Yes.
And I'm loving that. I love what they're doing for Veronica. Veronica is such a one-note villain in the comics. And
she's
they've
really
made
good
her.
The show.
She's one of my favorite characters.
I mean, they're having Archie come off the rails because he's sure that the guy who shot his dad is going to come back and finish the job.
Yeah. Does he find reasons to take a shirt off, though?
All the time.
Oh, all the time.
Okay. I was like, I don't know if I want to watch it unless.
There's shower sex between Archie and Veronica in this episode. So
they're never supposed to commit one way or the other.
Yeah, well, they've committed.
I thought they're just all virgins forever.
Betty is out there with Jughead.
With Jughead, and Jughead is a serpent now.
Yeah. Not an actual serpent, although it could be understood why you would be mistaken.
Honestly, they got Sabrina coming this season.
Yeah, so it could happen.
Anything could happen.
I thought Jughead was the gay character in this.
No, Kevin Keller. Kevin Keller is the gay character.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so Jughead has now not fully embraced. You can tell he's still using whoever he needs to use to kind of get his murder mystery solved.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's willing to embrace his dad's thuggish gang if it gets him moved along. And so, like, watching him take Betty kind of along this journey with him as his new girl is a trip.
This show is
part of the DC universe. Like,
Pretty much.
I don't know if anybody's explained it to Greg Berlanti yet, but he needs to cross this over fully. Like, they're on Earth 4 or something. Like, it's got Blake Neely. It has the same music.
Yeah.
It's produced by Berlanti. It's on the CW. They're going to have Sabrina and legit magic. Like, they've already said they're not going to pull their punches. It's going to be
Sabrina the Teenage Witch,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but it's going to be pulled from the horror comic, I think.
There's going to be a Sabrina show.
Oh, there's a series that's going to pull
that. So she's going to be in two different shows.
Yeah, Riverdale walks a really great line between the CW superhero shows and like Pretty Little Liars type stuff.
I didn't finish watching this because I liked it, but it fell off. I like too much to watch. But then I watched this first episode back, and I was like, God damn, I got to catch up. And it's only like 13 episodes, so yeah. I can do that. I may go back and catch
up
the rest.
It's so oversaturated and overcranked.
Oh, yeah.
But it works.
It knows what it's doing and does it very well.
So That's your ultimate recommendation there.
Yeah.
I love Riverdale, and I'm definitely watching it.
Man, I don't know. It's so weird. All right. Dynasty came on, and this is one of those shows that I saw and went, oh, well, that's surely not a show we would ever discuss here on TV, dudes. And then Randy had other ideas because he put it on our homework.
I was a little surprised too, man.
Okay. I never watched the old Dynasty. I had no – but the CW, we even talked about this before. The CW has such a good strike rate.
Do they? I don't think I like anything on the CW.
But you've always agreed with us that their level of quality is consistent.
It's consistent, but it's –
I don't know. Here's the argument I will make for the CW. They know what their target is, and they hit it every single time. What they do may not be – it's not aimed at us for sure. But what they do very well, and that's exactly the point I make with Dynasty, which I watched the first episode.
Riverdale is aimed at Les.
Riverdale is aimed squarely at me, along with several superhero shows.
But Dynasty is not a show that I will ever watch a second episode of.
Okay, so this is modeled off of the show from the 80s.
Yeah.
And I vaguely remember it, but it's a family. I mean, this is Empire.
It's like a soap opera.
Oil company. Yeah,
it's about rich people.
Pure soap opera.
It's about rich people fucking each other. That's what it's about.
The intro plot with the rich young girl, I don't remember her name.
I don't know. She's Carrington something. I don't know.
Yeah, the young Carrington girl, and like she's
Fallon.
Going to,
Fallon Carrington.
It really reminded me.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Fallon Carrington.
Fallon Carrington.
Her name's Fallon.
Let me read some names, okay, if I might. All right. So there's Fallon Carrington, the Ivanka Trump of the bunch. There's Cristal Flores, the new wife of Stephen Carrington, the older patriarch. There is, Blake Carrington. I believe he is the gay son. And then there's Michael Culhane. And I'm trying to find some. And Monique Colby.
Who does Paul F. Tompkins play? Because this sounds a lot like Bajillion.
So how this starts, it basically feels like the pilot of Arrested Development.
Yes.
They took themselves seriously.
Yes.
That nails the vibe. I only watched like the first 5 minutes of this before I was swearing at the screen.
Like she comes in as this heir to the throne. Yeah. Like, and this is her big day. She's expecting to go home and be given the keys to the dynasty.
Yeah. Yep.
As it were. And it turns out that's not the way it goes.
Nope.
Instead, her dad wants to present the new fiance / girlfriend, and then everything just goes soap opera level 10 from there.
Don't forget her gay activist brother who's been living in Africa doing good works because he's so ashamed of his dad.
He's an evil liberal.
Yes, he's an evil liberal.
Family.
Yep.
And
don't forget that his fiance has a lover who is married to a shut-in woman.
And the lover is the number one employee of her fiance.
Right. Oh, and also the chauffeur is having sex with the daughter. This is what I thought was interesting about this. This is very much the 80s, setup of all these, it's all these web of different sex and lies. And yet what they did is like they gave it a feminist spin because it's all the point of view of like the two lead women. Mm-hmm. The lead, the dad, the patriarch is really not that important. And they added people of color. They added stuff with gay issues. Mm-hmm. They basically took everything and CW'd it.
Let's do a little bit of a modern update here. But
and again, not a show I'm going to watch. But as a pilot, it's a solid pilot. Like it does exactly what it sets out to do.
This just feels like how terrible Dallas was. The remake Dallas that they just did too, right?
No, this is better than that Dallas.
Let's take and put a couple female leads in
there. Because Dallas was also boring as shit. I wasn't bored by this.
Oh, I only made about 15 minutes into it because this is just not in my wheelhouse.
Oh, man. I found it endlessly amusing. The slap fights and all that kind of thing. Like, they know exactly what they're going for. It is trashy soap opera melodrama. It is not in my wheelhouse either, but I had to respect that they put together a solid pilot.
Did you ever watch Dirty Sexy Money?
No.
With Donald Sutherland and Peter.
I didn't, Cruise. but I heard generally good
this,
things.
I watched it and enjoyed it, and Dynasty looked kind of like that. I just didn't make it past the opening of the lead actress fawning over
the Trump
the
family.
Idea of dynasties, and they're showing pictures of the Trumps, and like, oh, who else would you... It was the old like rich people got to take care of us. They're smarter than us. They're rich. And I was cussing at the screen before I realized what I was doing. Like, fuck you, burn your house down, fuck all of you.
I mean, it's like in this climate too. I was just like, it was, fuck
it's
these
not a shock
people.
To watch right now.
I don't care about them at all.
It's not. Yeah. Fuck these people.
I feel like we got Hannibal and we got Fargo, and then everyone else is trying to take movies and put them on TV. And no to this, or no to the reboots of TV shows, and no to the movies, the reboots.
I just want to watch either superheroes save people, or I'm going to throw rocks at rich people on TV and watch westerns about how God is dead.
Like. That's all we need.
This is all I need. I want shows about how God has abandoned us and cartoons.
Well, I got the show for you.
Rick and Morty. I want a cartoon about how God has abandoned us.
Mr. Robot is back. Woohoo! Yeah. I feel this is fitting in there a little bit.
Yeah, no.
Scratching some
of
that
like
itch.
Talking about movies that become TV shows, it's like a whole show set after Fight Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's back for its third season. And what do you guys think about this?
I checked out.
Did you?
Yeah. I can't keep track of what the fuck is going on.
I didn't make
anymore.
It through season 2.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll cover us here, I guess.
I watched the whole episode, but I literally had no idea what was happening half the time.
I mean, I get where things are with Elliot and the struggle. It seems like Mr. Robot is fully operating on the sly against Elliot, and Elliot thinks he's kind of rid of Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
But I think one of my problems with this is that we were presented with Elliot in the first season as this mastermind, but he's a mastermind who's not in control of his own mind, right?
Yeah.
And yet it seems like now we see these bigger puppet masters with White Rose, and she's kind of controlling things, and how they continue to like refer to how disposable Elliot is makes me like a little bit less excited to kind of watch where he's going, and I just kind of want to watch what White Rose is doing. I'm like, okay, let's focus more on BD Wong and what he's doing with the White Rose character.
I feel like none of these characters make any sense to me anymore. Like Angela, I don't even know where the fuck she is anymore. I don't know what her motivations are.
Well, you remember that weird episode last time where she got kidnapped and brought into that testing facility?
Yeah.
And whatever she took from that is supposed to be like she understands. I mean, she's alluding to some idea of time travel, which I'm thinking like, you know, either they manipulated her or Angela's playing a con on Christian Slater, on Mr. Robot.
I don't know. I've lost track of what exactly the plot was supposed to be. I've lost track of what anybody's agenda is, and I just don't care. Yeah. It's gotten so complicated, and I've lost a lot of the interest that I have when I could follow the story.
It's very complicated storytelling. I agree there. I'm fascinated, but it's not a show that – I don't know. Sometimes I want to watch it week to week, and I want to like really dive into all of the details. But other times I'm like – I just want to hold off a few weeks so I can go binge.
I think I'm done. Season two, I binged like 4 or 5 episodes, and I wound up generally happy with it, but I didn't quite get this. I wasn't quite feeling it. And I remember last year, like when everyone else was thinking it was too slow and was going, and like I liked the first part of season two.
Yeah.
And then by the time everyone else started falling in love with season two, I was falling a little bit out of love with season two. Mm. And so maybe it'll be the reverse. Maybe I'll get season three, and maybe when the second part comes out, I'll wind up binging it and really liking it. But right now I'm feeling like I don't know that I want to watch any more of this unless I hear it turned out good.
No, season one's one of the best things I've ever seen.
Well, because it was a movie. Mr. Robot was a movie that Sam Esmail wrote and directed. He was gonna make it as a movie, and instead he brought it to TV, and that
it
worked
stretched it out 13 times its length.
Yeah.
But then when season two starts like a train wreck, I mean, it doesn't start where I wanted it to. Like the show didn't, like it confounded my expectations. Like it started in a frustrating, floundering space that didn't move forward on anything I wanted from season one.
Yeah. That's because it's a complete, like, unreliable narrator, and we're stuck with his perspective, and he's losing his mind.
Yeah, but the people that created the show should have shepherded the narrator so that he didn't take me to a boring show that I don't want to watch. Like, I understand being unreliable, but you walked me out of the show I wanted to watch and into a thing that I stopped watching.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at,
like,
too.
By halfway through season two, I lost the thread of what I was hoping we were going to pull off here, yeah. or what I thought the plan might be, or where I thought these characters might go.
Yeah.
And I've started to pick it back up, like started to watch season two again now, but...
Did you ever get to the big reveal of what's going on with Elliot then?
That it's his dad and...
No, like him at the basketball court and going, hanging out with his friend. What was going on there?
Oh, what's going on there? No, I can't figure out. I've watched... five or six episodes of season two.
Okay, well, that's
now.
That's a pretty big reveal. I
At
think
this
it
point,
kind of
the one
shifts
I just
a lot
saw in season two. I'm blanking on the comedian's name.
Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson just made him do a bunch of shit.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not sure. I really don't understand what Craig Robinson has over him or how they know each other.
You will.
I mean,
he's just in his. All these people are just in his life that were not in season one at all.
It's intentionally cryptic, and yeah. I get that it's infuriating. I think it has a really good payoff.
I would agree with that, actually. The payoff of that is pretty solid, but it is frustrating.
Yeah, I'm 7 hours in. I don't give a fuck.
And then it goes into Alf. Yeah. At one point,
yeah.
I don't know if you see Alf pop up in
the room. It gets super weird.
I saw the TV in his head episode. Like
where he's hanging out with Alf.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a weird ass show.
I just don't care enough to invest in this.
Yeah,
I'm still really on board. I think this is doing things that other shows aren't, and I'm fascinated with. I really like all the characters. It's just like. Part of me is a little bit confused on who I'm supposed to be rooting for at this point, because even if I'm rooting for Elliot, I don't know who Elliot is since he can't know who he is.
Right.
And they took away Angela from me as a reliable character, and his sister is kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, I think with first episodes back
existed for a while.
Yeah. With first episodes back, though,
yeah.
with a show this complex, it's like you still have to like really kind of set a stage again.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like the more you go into it, it's like Game of Thrones. You're like a lot of chess pieces. Okay, here's where everything is, and it's like okay, filler. Next episode, hopefully, will be a lot better.
Hmm.
We'll see. But I think last year we were talking about this episode to episode. I don't necessarily feel we'll do that. Especially, no. We also have Mr. Robot O podcast.
Yep.
Everyone can go check it out there. Well, that's it, guys.
Oh, based on our discussion last week, Grant, I did want to tell you this past week, Star Trek was the best episode they've done this season.
Agreed.
And it went a long way to settle some of my issues with the crew not giving a shit about Federation ideals.
Right. Oh.
And related to bringing up Craig Robinson, I wanted to admit that you guys were right and Ghost is a piece of shit.
That show was so bad.
It's garbage. It's so terrible.
That dude is funny and so... I mean,
he and Adam Scott, I don't know how you fucked that up, but they did.
Well, I mean, we already put Kyle on that show, so he has to watch the whole thing. Kyle, you get back to us with your report on it.
That's right. Where's our episode-by-episode ghosted podcast, Kyle? You got ghosted.
All right, guys. Until next week, thank you for tuning in. Thanks, Les. Thanks, Randy.
Thanks, Grant.
Two Dudes out. The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter @TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.